Father, thank you so much for your love for us and your care for us. We often feel like that flower quickly fading, and we're filled with all kinds of fears and reluctancy and hesitation, and oh, we're sometimes quite a mess, and yet still you come. You come to us where we are. You just bridge that gap, and you just come and meet us where we are and bring us into your warm embrace. So we just pray this morning. We could be encouraged. We could be encouraged by you. We could be encouraged to step out again. We love you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, welcome. I stand before you as a man who has finished a half marathon. How about that? There you go. That was a great experience last week. I didn't finish in the time I wanted to finish, but my wife told me, stop complaining. And that, yes. What was that? No, I did not come 7,000. That was just my number. There were 26,000 people running, so. And I appreciate all of your, you know, your well wishes, your stuff. But I'm not going to lie. My favorite was this one. It was sent to me. I'm hoping I don't feedback in this thing, but this is my favorite congratulations. It goes like this.
This is Granddad. Hello, Granddad.
That was from my beautiful Naomi. She sent Granddad a nice congratulations. Great race, Granddad. For those of you who don't understand toddler, that's what it is. So it was a good experience. And I hope to do another one May 1st. Yeah, the Good Life half marathon and full marathon is happening May 1st, so I want to do that one again. And I want to beat my time of 1:49. That was terrible. But anyway, my wife told me, get over it. We are in our series on Exodus. God reveals and God rescues. And this morning we're going to talk about reluctant or restored. Reluctant or restored. Many of us would be familiar with the story we're going to talk about this morning, but I want to just set it up in this way. I'm not sure what your fears were when you were growing up. One of mine was dogs. I had a number of occasions, three distinct occasions when I was bitten by dogs. I had a dog chase me down the street. I had a dog leap over a fence to get at me. I was preaching the gospel at another time, and I knocked on a door to tell people about Jesus, and a dog bit me. So, me and dogs, we don't necessarily get along. So if you're familiar with that expression, once bitten, twice shy, that's what most of us are kind of going through. And you know, for you, it may not be dogs. Maybe it was, you were at a department store, you were somewhere and you were treated in a very poor manner. Lousy service. Maybe you were at a restaurant and it was really bad food. Are you going to go back there again? No, once bitten, twice shy. You're not foolish. You're not just going to go back there a second time. And so what we have a lot of times is this kind of hesitancy and reluctance in our life. And that's what we're going to look at today with the life of Moses. As we've shared over the last couple of weeks, Moses spent 40 years in Egypt. That was his early years. We should be familiar with that by now. But then something happened where Moses got this feeling from God that he needed to rise up and change the situation of God's people. And that's what he did. And there was a murder involved, and there was all kinds of things involved. And finally, once he knew that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, knew all about what had happened, he ran away. And he spent 40 years in a place called Midian. Let me just show you a couple of verses here, because this is where we're going to be this morning. From Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Think about this. This is a man who was heir to the throne of Egypt. This is a powerful man who's growing up, and now he's keeping the flock of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Let's look at what Stephen says in the book of Acts, verse 29, chapter 7, verse 29. Now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness, and we'll get to that in a second. So it's interesting, you've got 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. What we're looking at this morning, though, is this. What is Moses' condition 40 years after the event? A lot of times when we think about Moses, we think victorious. We think about, you know, the sea opening up, and we think about all those kind of things. And that might be. But that's not what we're covering this morning. We're asking, where is he at this moment? When God appears to him at this moment, where is he? And let's be honest, I would say he's inwardly wounded, bruised, broken, defeated, disappointed. And if God were to ask him to do anything, he would be terribly reluctant. He has had an epic fail. He ran away for his life. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. I want to continue on with the narrative, the storyline in Exodus chapter 3, because here's where we see that God comes to Moses. In that fragile state that he was in, God comes to Moses in Midian, and he says these, and this is how we read it. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And my heart is warmed when I hear, when I consider these things. How many times have I been in a low place? Too many. And God came. God came to call. Did God come like this in a burning bush? No. But God came. God came through a friend. God came through a phone call. God came as I opened his word. God came through a song. God came through a prayer. God came in so many different ways. And I think if you've been following the Lord long enough, you know that is the kind of God we have. He does not just throw up his hands and say, okay, you want to be a brat. You want to just, you know, walk off and go and hide in the corner. Fine, go ahead and do that. He doesn't do that. That's not God. That's us. But that's not God. God warmly, lovingly, compassionately comes to us where we are to bring us out from where we're stuck. And of course, one of the main thoughts that we have in this series is God reveals, and I want to show you a little bit of how God revealed himself to Moses this morning. Let's go on to these verses from verses 5 through 8. Then he said, do not come near. So think about it. The burning bush is there. Moses is approaching, and God says, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's our God. That's the kind of God that we have. And let's consider it. The verses are going to stay on the screen for you. The first thing that God points out in these verses is that he is holy. By no means. Do not think there was anything special about that ground. It had nothing to do with that ground. The ground is the ground. The only difference is the holy God came to that ground, and that's what made that ground now holy. Our God is holy. Think about it from the standpoint of creator and creature. Think about it in terms of massive difference and awe and reverence and distinction. God is holy. God is not like us. God, there's no sin with God. There's nothing called corrupt with God. He is just holy. And that's the first thing that we find out, or that's the first thing that Moses finds out about God. Second thing is, in verse 6, we see that God is relational. I am the God of your father. Moses' father is not a big hero in the Bible. You hear about him here and there, not many times, but that does not matter. And that might be us sometimes, and our kids are going to go on to do something way more than us. But the point is, he is still the God of our father. And just as much as he has a relationship with Moses, he's letting him know, Moses, I had a relationship with your dad. And I had a relationship with your dad's 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 dad. I am a relational God. I am not just far off, removed from humanity in the heavens, just kind of directing everything. That's not God. God is very much involved, very personal, and he wants relationship with us. Third thing to point out in verses 7 and 9, I have surely seen the affliction. I have heard their cry. I know their sufferings. This is God. Again, he's not deaf. He's not dumb. No, God feels. God knows. God hears. He knows the situation that we are in, and God is so compassionate. Verse 8 says, I have come down to deliver them. Do you know your God is a savior? He's a saving God. He's holy. He is relational, he is compassionate, and he is a savior. He doesn't want you to stay in the situation that you're in. He wants to bring you out. And I know a lot of times when we're in bad states, when we're in a funk, and we're just like, ugh, I don't want to talk to anybody. We don't necessarily want help. But God just has a way of coming to save us. He says, I'm coming down. I have come down and I am going to save this people. And the other thing that we can pick up from verse 8, two more things. It says, I am going to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and I'm going to bring them to a land that is flowing with milk and honey, a good land, a broad land. God is purposeful. When God saves you, he doesn't just save you and say, okay, go ahead, do your own thing. God is very, very purposeful when he does things. He's going to bring you to a certain place. In fact, he may bring you to a certain kind of people. You may wonder, why are you here? He didn't just save you and then you just go free. You get to be together with people and grow together with people. And of course, he's a God of promise. Because he had told us back in Genesis 12 and Genesis 13 that he was going to bring them to a particular land. And here again, he's a God of his word. So you can count on God when he says what he says. If I'm Moses at this point, here's what I'm thinking. I'm focusing on all of what God said, and I'm especially focusing on, I have come down to deliver them. And especially considering the state that I am in, my feeling would be, awesome. God, two thumbs up. Go do it. Go for it. I'll be praying for you. But for sure, Moses is not thinking, sign me up. But here's what we have to understand, this is where we're going to turn this message, because we've seen that, you know, God is revealing himself. But brothers and sisters and friends, if you're here and you think God is only contacting us because he wants to inform us, that is not God. God is not just about information. God is about transformation. I don't need to know all these, just this kind of stuff. Moses, just, if I'm Moses, he's like, okay, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. But God is like this, Moses, I got you in mind. I've got you in mind. And I'm all about, Moses, making a change for you. And that's where we see the big change. In chapter 3, verse 10, God calls Moses. And you know, of course, I don't know the way that God was feeling when he said this, but I mean, I kind of imagine it like this. He's like, come, I'm going to send you. I'm like, what? Come. I mean, I say those kind of things to Naomi. Come, come, come. Come. Let's do this. And that's exactly what God said. Come, I will send you. You? And of course, if I were Moses, and maybe if you were Moses, you would not have two thumbs up. You would have two thumbs down. Because you're thinking, no way. God, you don't understand the situation that I'm in. But we also often miss who God is. He is a God who loves to rescue us from our disappointment and from our defeated situation. And we're there like wallowing in our misery and suffering. And he's saying, I got plans for you, Bob. And you're like, not sure how to respond to that. And yet, look at what he says. Come, I'm going to send you. Do you know God sees you different than you see yourself? You see yourself, you know, in the way you are. You think, oh, this is my history. This is what I've done. This is my inexperience. I don't know enough. God doesn't see you that way. Or maybe God does see you that way and he says, I'm all right with that. Why are you disqualifying yourself? Moses has an interesting response. Can we go back to those verses, Iman? Oh, sorry, it's Regina. Can you go back to those verses? Look at Moses' response. Who am I? Let me translate that to you for 21st century. You're kidding. Actually, if you check the Hebrew, I'm pretty sure it says, you're kidding. Who am I? God's emphasis is you. And Moses is like, me? You're kidding me. There's no way. Do you know who I am? And you know, how many of you are familiar with that thought, time heals all wounds? Familiar with that? We do like to say that, and in some cases it's true. But I think we all, if we've lived long enough, we know there are some wounds that just time makes things worse. Just makes it worse. You may have been through some of those kind of things. And maybe that's where Moses is at right now. 40 years has gone by. Has time healed that wound? So I kind of imagine, sorry, I'm doing a lot of imagining this morning in this message. But it's, you know, I think it's good to get into the story. You know, I'm thinking, okay. So he hears God say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I've come down. And he's like, go for it, God. And he says, I'm going to use you. He says, no chance. And God says, no, seriously, I want you. And at that moment, it's almost kind of like, okay, for those of you who like movies, it's kind of like the movie scene stops in the background and the character just looks at the camera. And it's like, okay, this person's now going to have a flashback and think, okay, what? How can God be possibly asking me to do such a thing? Doesn't he know what happened before? Let's talk about the failure that Moses went through. Maybe he's sitting there blaming himself. I blew it. I messed up so badly. I killed a man, buried him in the sand. I wanted to rescue the people of Israel, and they said, "We don't want you." And I ran away. And maybe you're in that spot too. Maybe there's a lot of negative self-talk that's going on in your mind and in your heart, and you're kind of telling yourself, "I'm not the one who should be serving. God better find somebody else. That's who am I?" Maybe he's still lingering there, but maybe he's also blaming God. "God, you asked me to do something. I tried something and I had an epic fail and I didn't like it. Oh, by the way, God, you never had my back. You didn't help me." And that might be us too. Maybe we're the kind of people who have done something for God. We've been engaged before in service for God or in helping some way, and things didn't go as you expected or you imagined or you wanted. I think about the identity crisis that Moses has got to be going through. This is, you know, most people consider he was a prince of Egypt. You think about the life that he lived in that palace. He's a prince with servants. He's highly educated. He's highly respected. He doesn't have to work like he's working now. Now let's shift to where he is 40 years later. Now he's a nobody in a desert. He's working hard as a shepherd. You know, it's tough. You know, you're trying to figure out, well, I'm just not sure who I am anymore. I know what I was, and I look at where I am now, and I'm kind of uncomfortable, and something doesn't quite fit. Identity crisis. And maybe that's you. You know, many of us in this room are immigrants, myself included. But I didn't come here as an adult immigrant, but I know there are others here who have. And maybe you came to this country as a doctor or a lawyer or some kind of a professional. And now you're shepherding sheep. That's hard. That's really hard. That's hard on your identity. That's hard on your person. That's hard sometimes on your dignity. Because you're trying to figure out, okay, who am I? And then when someone comes to you and says, "Hey, you'd be great for this," if your identity is not clear, it can really crush you. One last thought about this call is maybe he's just resigned himself to his present state. You know, "I'm actually doing okay here. I've settled down. I got a family, and here's a resignation. I'm okay with that." And in a sense, you kind of given up. And maybe that's where you're at as well this morning. You kind of given up, you're defeated, you're disappointed, you're discouraged, you might even be a bit depressed. But remember, God is a Savior. And God loves to rescue us. So in the midst of all of that, with all of that weight and so much more that I haven't even mentioned, God comes to Moses and said, "Moses, you're the one. You're the one." And I love the way that God puts it in verse 12. If we could just bring those verses up. I want to take you through this dialogue again. God says, "I want to send you." Moses said, "It's not going to happen." And God says, "Moses, but I will be with you." This time, God is saying to him, "Moses, it's me and you this time. It's not just you, like it was the last time where you did your own thing and everything. It's me and you this time. And you know, it's almost like he's asking Moses, think about who I am, Moses. Like, that's why he revealed himself the way he did. Think about who I am, Moses. You got to learn to rely on me. And so I want to bring us to our last point. I want to bring us to the burning bush. Because I don't know what you've heard about the burning bush in the past, but I'd like to share with you something this morning that is quite interesting. What was it that drew Moses' attention to that bush? Regina, if you could go back to 3:2 for me, or just bring up 3:2 for me. I think this is very interesting. I've highlighted something here for us. The bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. The bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. When you look at yourself, you might say, Ian, I'm just a bush. I'm just a bush. I got another picture of bushes there. Regina, if you could pick it up. I'm just a bush. I'm ordinary. There's not much special about me. I think probably the majority of us in this room would have that kind of evaluation. And a lot of us would feel pretty inadequate if God were to ask us to do something. So we look at ourselves, and maybe we feel that kind of ordinary or inadequate feeling. You know, maybe you're the person who is a, you didn't ask for this, but this has happened in your life. You're now a caregiver to a very sick, elderly loved one. Maybe you're the caregiver for someone who is just getting really, really old. And you feel really inadequate and not up for the task. Very unqualified. Maybe you're a parent who is raising a child with challenges. And you feel inadequate. And you would say, Ian, I'm just a bush. I don't even know why this has happened. And maybe you're a person who just lost their job. And you know you have to get another job, but you just don't feel like you've got it. And you're feeling the bush. You're feeling, I'm just inadequate. I'm just ordinary. And maybe at this point in your life, you're a single person. And you see other people getting engaged and married and all other things. And you're wondering about you. And you're wondering, are you sufficient for such a life? Feeling pretty inadequate and ordinary. Maybe you're the parents who are not able to have kids and you're wondering, can I live? I've always wanted kids, and will I be able to live a life with no kids? Maybe you didn't get into the school program that you wanted to get in. Now you're feeling pretty inadequate. Pretty ordinary. Maybe you thought, oh, I'm pretty smart, and then you found out not as smart as you thought. Maybe you're the couple who's come to Canada to make a new start. You can't find a job, and there's something in your heart saying, I want to leave and go back to my country. I can well imagine that that's hard. Feel pretty inadequate to make a new start here. Maybe you're a woman who's had a number of miscarriages, or maybe you're someone who has physical issues, and yet God is calling you and saying, I want you to do something, and you're allowing the physical issues and your inadequacies to stop you. And maybe it's something along a spousal, you know, your spouse has cheated on you, and you're like, I can't get through this. I can't get through this. And now God has got this call on my life to do something. Maybe we're a high schooler or a junior higher, and we had this really, really close friend, had them for years, and then something happened, and now there's been a fight, and we're just not talking. We're not even near each other. Or maybe your parents who are, you're following God and your kids are not. Or maybe you've been divorced. Your ex will not send you any support at all, and you've got to raise your kids on your own. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God says, I am with you. I know you're a bush. You're a bush like I'm a bush. But God says, I am with you. He's here to help you overcome the reluctance. Whatever it is, whatever your history, whatever your experience, he is here to help you overcome that reluctance. God is rescuing us. I want to show you a couple of verses from the book of from 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, 27, 28, just to verify. God chose the foolish. Amen. God chose the weak. Amen. God chose the low and the despised. And while you may be offended by those words, I think if you look in the mirror, you'll realize, that's right, God chose me. You read the context of these things, he did not choose the well-born and all those kind of things. Of course, there are some, but that's God's choosing right there. So if you feel like I'm a bush, you're qualified. You're in the right place. And know this, God is with you. But there's something interesting about the bush, isn't there? It's not just the bush. It's a bush with a flame. Oh, this is awesome. It is a bush with a flame. Look, there it is. That's not actually it, just in case you're wondering. So consider this. This bush, this ordinary bush, not special at all. If you want to look at it as Moses, I'm okay with that. You want to look at it as yourself? I'm okay with that. You want to look at it as the children of Israel? Whatever. The point is, you're here this morning. You've got your history. Do you see yourself as a bush? Or do you see yourself as a bush with a flame? And the flame doesn't consume the bush. I love that. That's what caught Moses' attention. The bush wasn't consumed. You know, and I'm going to just go out on a limb this morning. Well, it's not really a limb. I thought about it a lot, but I don't know how you're going to respond to this. I really don't. But I hope it challenges you. Are you burned out? Think about it. Think about what I just asked you. Are you burned out? If you're burned out, that's not the picture here. That's a bush that was consumed. And what I think you need to ask yourself is this. What kind of fire was there? Was it all about me? Was it all about my energies? And maybe this is what Moses is being helped to see. Moses, yes, you're a bush. But when you were fired up in Egypt, it was all about you. And guess what? You got burned out. Moses, there is another fire. There's another fire that can drive you. There has to be something of God driving us as we serve him. Paul uses these words. He doesn't use the word fire in the New Testament, but he uses a similar word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10 says this, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Obviously, there's some people competing with him. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Are you enjoying grace? Are you finding grace day in and day out? Or is it just you telling yourself, I can make it, I can do it, I can will myself through this thing, because in the end, the bush will be burned. The bush never gets burned when the fire is from God. Amen? Amen. Never. It's an energy that propels us forward. So my question to you is this. Are you partnering with God in your life? Or are you just doing this life all by yourself? Do you have his fire? I want to challenge those of you who are in this room who have never met God and you've never had a relationship with Him. You are a bush and you're working hard and you're being consumed and you will continue to be consumed. And I would encourage you, begin this dialogue, begin this talk with God where He begins to drive you, where He becomes in relationship with you and you in relationship with Him, and He becomes your Savior. Don't just hear these words this morning. You want to live a purposeful life? You want to live a life that you know God and you know where you're heading? You need to be in relationship with God. Don't just be a bush. Don't live a solitary life. And for those of us who have been following the Lord a while, is that fire burning? I feel like God is revealing Himself to us this morning. And He wants to rescue us from our past. He wants to rescue us from our experience and our situation. And He wants to rescue you from being reluctant and being hesitant. Amen. He wants you to live in partnership with Him. Don't just be a bush. Be a bush that is ignited by Him. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your word to us this morning. Thank You that You're challenging every one of us right here. And just want to pray that we would not remain in our excuses. We would not remain in any thought of, I'm not doing that. I'm not listening. Pray that it would be surrender in our hearts right now. Father, You are such a good God, and You are here with us. You are encouraging us. You're drawing us back to Yourself. Forgive us for wandering off. Forgive us for growing cold, for not trusting You. We're here this morning to say we love You, we trust You, and we need You. Father, be with us this week as we leave here, that we would be the people at work, the people in our families who are driven by grace. We have a fire that is driving us that's not from us. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Wow. Woo. Love it. Love the Word of God. A couple of announcements before we go. Baptisms are coming up. There's baby dedication next weekend too, right? So baby dedications, look in your bulletin on the in your lap or whatever. Baptisms are coming up. Baby dedications. If you have a child you want to get them dedicated, please let us know. Right? Speak to the one of us in the leadership team. You want to speak to me? That's totally fine. Baptisms coming up. If you want to be baptized, please let us know that too.